planet is going through a time of extraordinary change, but we often don't stop to ask the question, are we overconsuming? And is it normal? In this episode, we're going to be exploring our relationship with water. Are we taking it for granted? And what are some of the ways we can conserve it? I'm Rhianna Mooney, and this is The New Normal. It's easy to forget how dependent we are on water. When we turn on a tap, clean water rushes out as much as we want, anytime we want it. 7 out of 10 of us can rely on having this luxury in our own homes. But how long will that last for?
Could you turn off that water while you wash and brush your teeth?
Sorry.
The 4 million residents of Cape Town are staring down a painful reality. In a little more than 2 months, the South African city could run out of water.
There is no substitute for water, and yet we seem to be in a situation where access to this precious resource is unevenly distributed and scarce in many parts of the world. The inevitable question becomes, what can we do to protect our water resources from a growing global population?
The Victorian government has ruled out the idea, claiming climate change means not enough water will flow into new dams.
The blue part of our earth is water, and there's a lot of it. 326 million trillion gallons of it, to be exact. It may freeze into ice or evaporate into the air, but it doesn't leave our planet. So if it's not going anywhere, how can we run out? NASA discovered that 97% of Earth's water is salty and 2% is trapped in ice at the ice poles. So the entire population relies on just 1% of fresh water to survive. Our planet may never run out of water, but it doesn't have to for individuals to go thirsty.
Bit early for you, isn't it, Wally?
Wife's idea, Baz. Ever since your smart remarks about watering early, I've been out here every morning.
But the problem isn't that there's more people on Earth using water.
Water's slow and deep, twice a week.
It's how we use water.
Don't be a Wally with water.
We need to drink almost 3.8 litres of water per day. Brushing our teeth, washing our hands uses another 3.8 litres. And flushing the toilet uses 11. But nothing has as much embedded water as meat.
For months now, we've been reading about the drought, and already we're beginning to feel the effects of it rather seriously, particularly in the butcher shops in the cities. In Sydney, the price of prime meat has, of course, gone up, but it seems that the price of all meat has gone up, and this is what a lot of people...
A cow consumes just over 10 kilograms of feed a day. If we divide it up, just one beef burger takes 1,650 litres of water to produce.
So what's happening and what do the people think about this? How do they feel about it?
I don't really think about it very often. Just buy what I can afford.
Different foods have very different footprints and, you know, animals eat so much over their life before we just get that 1 kilo of meat from them that everything that's embedded into that turns into a very high footprint.
Hannah Rolrack is a dietitian and food designer. She's passionate about improving people's relationship with food and the environment.
The crops that need to be grown obviously need water to survive, but then if we move beyond that and think about all the water that's encapsulated in the food that the animals would eat, and then all the water that's encapsulated in processing and cleaning and in the factories, I mean, like abattoirs use a lot of water.
The agriculture industry consumes a whopping 70% of Australia's water consumption. So does this mean we shouldn't eat meat?
It does depend on different animals. So things like chickens have a much smaller environmental impact than something like beef and lamb. Because kangaroos are wild harvested, in terms of farming, there are no resources. And it's a very lean meat. It's very high in iron. So it's, you know, it is a very sustainable and nutritious meat for us to be choosing in Australia, as opposed to some of the other choices I'm not saying that they should be avoided. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, beef and cattle and that whole industry is very important to Australians. And our farmers have been making a lot of headway in making their practices more sustainable. They're the first ones who are thinking about this because it's their whole livelihood. So they're not just, you know, arrogantly going about their business and causing lots of emissions. Like our farmers are doing a lot to change their farming practices to reduce those emissions. So I think for me, what I would suggest a healthy way of thinking about meat is rather than using it as like the focus of a meal, meat is a small part of the meal that you might use as a flavour or as, you know, as just one component that makes something rather than the traditional sort of meat and veg that perhaps a lot of our parents and grandparents grew up with. Being vegetarian during the weekdays and having meat on the weekends, or being vegetarian at home, or when you go out, you might choose to eat meat if vegetarian is too hard.
What about native foods that thrive in a dry climate?
I think it's great that we're seeing a push and an increase in the availability of native foods. I mean, a lot of restaurants are using them. The flavours are fantastic. There's so much that you could do with them. I cook quite a lot with things like lemon myrtle or wattle seed. We're very lucky in Australia that we grow so much variety. We have fantastic agricultural areas and, you know, we can have a lot of that choice and still buy seasonally and locally. Not everyone in the world has that luxury with different climates, unfortunately. But what that means is, you know, if it's grown in season, less water or less resources were used in the production of that food.
And what does the future of food look like for Australia?
I think people are becoming more aware of the environmental impact of our food, and also as the climate is going to be changing around the world, that's going to impact what we have. I don't think there's any one particular direction or solution. I think we're going to have lots of different solutions and new food products and new ways of thinking about food in the future. And one of those things is going to be more plant-based meat alternatives. We're already starting to see vegetarian burger bleed like meat does. I think we are going to also be seeing things like lab-grown meats come into popularity a lot more. I think we're going to be seeing slowly an increase in edible insects or insect protein.
Yep, you heard that right. Insects. The things we squirm at, things we squash our flip-flops with.
Can you describe a dish that incorporates an edible insect for us?
There is a pasta with dry roasted crickets that have been ground down into a protein powder, basically. Edible insects are very high in protein, and particularly if it's something like cricket, which has an exoskeleton, is also very high in calcium. So anything that you might see which has crickets or mealworm powder made into it will have a lot of protein because that's very sustainable, very low water, land, carbon footprint. There's a number of farms in Australia that grow them for human consumption. Yeah, and it's a nice nutty flavour that it would add to a dish like that.
With water such a lifeline for all global communities, this crisis is in many ways existential. While this may be frightening for some, we can also see that this very fact can elicit extraordinary responses from communities. Cape Town cut its water usage by more than 50% in 3 years, and as a result, day zero still hasn't happened. The trick is understanding the severity of the situation before water begins to run out. So, what are some of the ways we can conserve? Place a bucket under your shower when you're waiting for the water to warm up. Buy a seasonal food chart. Shop locally at farmers markets when you can. And try meatless Mondays with your housemates, as going vego could reduce up to 1/3 of our water footprint. In episode 3 of The New Normal, we'll be looking into the impacts the fast fashion industry is having on our planet and what materials we should be staying away from. For more podcasts, visit next.afters.edu.au/nextpods. I'm Rhianna Mooney and this is The New Normal.